Shakespeare, on Thursday's appointment with the debt ceiling, default, dear Brutus, not lies not in our stars.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The gridlock continues this morning in Washington with no agreement to reopen the federal government or raise the debt ceiling. And the Thursday deadline looms. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, David.
So let's start with a bit of context. What is the debt ceiling again, and what's at stake later this week if it's not lifted?
Basically, the ceiling is a limit on how much money the federal government can borrow. And as you mentioned, later this week on Thursday, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew has said he will run out of money. He says if the debt limit isn't lifted by then, he'll have to rely on money coming in from taxes and fees to pay the bills. There won't be enough cash. There are a lot of bills to pay. We have some huge payouts on November 1st to Social Security recipients, Medicare providers, and we have to pay our troops, David. And by the way, we need money to keep parts of the government that are not closed running, like the FAA and the Justice Department.
And there is now a bid to put something else on the table. It had been Obamacare, budget, debt ceiling, and now sequestration is being re-injected.
Yeah, just in time for Halloween, David, it's back to haunt us. Remember sequestration, those automatic across-the-board cuts in federal spending? Democrats have added them to the bargaining mix. They only want the current sequestration cuts to last for about another month through mid-November. Republicans want them to continue on for as long as possible. The markets are watching this closely. Of course, traders could send Congress a message by sending stocks down sharply this week. We'll see. Maybe that would get Washington's attention.
We'll have to see. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Now let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down at the moment. The FT 100 index in London is up 0.1%. The bond market in the U.S. is closed for Columbus Day.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Mexico's president is proposing a major shakeup of that country's oil industry. Whether that is a good idea or not may depend on whether you work in the oil industry there. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes us to an oil town in the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm here on the waterfront in Ciudad del Carmen, which was a small fishing village, until a fisherman discovered oil off the coast. In the distance, you can see oil platforms in the muddy green waters of the Gulf of Mexico.
For four decades, those oil platforms have been like magnets for job seekers who come from all over the country. Guys like 49-year-old Manuel Castro. I asked what he thinks of President Enrique Peña Nieto's plan to allow foreign companies to invest in Mexico's oil industry.
Foreign companies come to invest and they pay their employees very well.
Since it was nationalized in 1938, the oil industry has been a source of national pride. Many Mexicans instinctively reject the idea of meddling with the state-run oil company called Pemex. It provides the federal government with millions of dollars in tax revenues. But some say private foreign investment would shake up Pemex. People like Nicolas Hernandez Gomez, a cook on an oil platform, support reform for another reason.
If they bring more companies from other places to work here in Carmen, there will be more work here for the people.
Along the dock, pelicans wait for scraps from the fishermen. 45-year-old Jose Ramon has fished off the coast here for decades. He says contamination from the oil industry has reduced his catch.
There's less fish, less sea bass, less shark, and only a little bit of shrimp.
Fishermen are supposed to get compensated from Pemex, but Ramon says he never got any money. So you might expect his bad feelings for Pemex would make him welcome foreign competition. But when I ask about the proposed oil industry reforms,
it's not a good idea because gasoline is already too expensive for us fishermen.
He expects gas would be even more expensive if foreign companies own a piece of it. With fewer fish in his nets, Ramon says he can't afford to pay more for gas. In Ciudad del Carmen, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
It's also 40 years ago this week that oil-producing countries in the Middle East imposed an embargo on the United States as punishment for the U.S. support for Israel during the Yom Kippur War. The result was an economic shock that changed America. But the 1973 oil embargo may have also yielded some unexpected benefits, Kate Davidson reports.
Joel Darmstadter knows energy. He started working at the NGO Resources for the Future around the time of the oil embargo.
There are people my age who remember waiting in gas lines, you know, for an hour and a half in the winter of 73-74.
Oil prices nearly quadrupled to about 57 a barrel in today's dollars. Darmstadter says energy independence took on a new urgency. President Nixon created a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit to save fuel. Then came the first CAFE standards for fuel economy, and money for energy research increased. UCLA professor Michael Ross says the embargo changed the course of conservation.
If we had never experienced the 1973 oil shock, carbon emissions might be far higher today, and we would be in an even worse situation with respect to climate change.
So thank you, oil embargo, and happy anniversary. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
I'm just looking at a chart. If you adjust for inflation, oil went from the equivalent of $20 a barrel in 1972 to $57 a barrel for that grim moment Kate mentioned in 1974. This morning, it's just under $102 a barrel. And the National Retail Federation calculates Americans will spend $2.6 billion for Halloween costumes this year. That includes, it turns out, $330 million for Halloween costumes for pets. Is that a thing? My black cat just shows up at our parties as a black cat. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.